Matthew chapter 22. It's good to see you. Matthew chapter 22. Here we find that the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced their antagonists, the Sadducees. You know why they're called Sadducees? Because they didn't believe in a resurrection, in a physical resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. We believe in the physical resurrection. And so here we find that they came to him for an interview. And of course, as it says in Matthew 22:34, and when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Now you got to watch out for lawyers. Somebody said, what would it be if you took all of the lawyers and laid them end to end around the equator? And the fellow puts up his hand. I know. He says, that'd be a good thing. And he's questioning, tempting him and saying, 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, this is important for us to know because by this time, the 400-year silence between the Testaments, there was so much that had happened with the religion of Judaism. They had 613 laws that they had come up with, divided into two parts. So, I mean, they were confused. So he's asking, I think, a pertinent question. What's the greatest? What do we look for? 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, if we go, keep your finger there, but go a little farther to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and we have an extension on this. See, Matthew was written, Jesus is portrayed as the king. Luke, Jesus is portrayed as the Son of Man. The Gospel of John, Jesus is portrayed as God the Son. But Mark, Jesus is portrayed as a servant. That's why you have no genealogy in here. He's a servant. Servants did not have genealogies. But here, this is why you'll see the addition to this great command, Mark 12:30. Now, I want you to tell me what Mark adds to the great command. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, what was it that has been added? What does he add that Matthew did not have? Strength. All thy strength. So we find this totally encompasses man's total being. Mankind's obligation is to love God with the totality of his being. So, if you as a Christian this morning, I'm assuming that most of us here this morning know what that is. He says, now, the heart speaks of the emotional nature, the feeling. You got to love God with all your heart. What would your wife say if you said to her, dear, I love you with half a heart? Thanks a lot. That's not how it works. When we talk about it, we want to get all into it. We want to jump in with both feet, right? He says, and soul, that's, of course, the heart is the feeling and the soul of the volitional nature. That's where our wills come in. The mind is of the intellectual nature. And then the strength is of the physical nature. So with encompassing all of a man that he is, and you would be able to look at this person, what they do, what takes up their time, you would be able to tell which way this individual is heading, don't you think? I would, for sure. Do you ever wonder, though, what part Jesus has in your life? What does loving God with all your heart look like? Now, could I show you this morning what that will look like? And guaranteed, I'll just guarantee, if you don't go to sleep on me, you will know what this looks like by the time you leave here in a few minutes. Now, here again, my question is, like I asked you last night, if God speaks to you, would you do what he says? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the songs we've been able to sing. We're grateful for this church that has been here now celebrating their 29th anniversary. And thank you for the McSwiggins and for their 8 years that they've been here, those 29. Thank you for their faithfulness. Now, bless each one that's come. Help us now as we look into your word. And this great commandment, help that it will be clarified in our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I show you and go to our text, I've got to show you Revelation. We need to read Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Now, this is what happens. This is what happens in marriages. And this is especially what happens in churches. Now, Revelation 2 and 3, there, before the first century, God says, I want 7 letters written to 7 churches. At the end, the last verse in chapter 1, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So we find the angels, it's a reference believed to be the pastors or the under-shepherds in the local church. Now, and it says, the candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Now, picture, so the candlestick, every church that preaches the gospel and obeys the word of God, Jesus is there, and they have a candlestick in your community. That's what you've got to guard, that candlestick will not go out. That's a stewardship that he's given to you. Where we are located in our property we bought, right next to it, there's a Karen on that property, and it is in memory of the United Methodist Church. It says it was started on this Karen, it looks like a gravestone, 1906. Now, I want you to see how good you are at math. And it lost its candlesticks. It died in 1968. So it started in 1908, pardon me, and it died in 68. So how long was it there? 60 years. Now, you're almost halfway there. Now, this church, I'm visiting in the community. People often say, oh, we're sorry that the church left. Sorry that the church died. And I can't help but ask them. I says, did you go to that church? And then their heads will bow, and not as regularly as we should have. Did you support the church financially? Well, not like we should have. Did you pray for the pastor and the ministry there? Well, not like we could have. Isn't that sad? So I have the records. One of these individuals gave me a booklet of the 60 years that church lived. And it has all the ministers, 60 years, now all the ministers are listed there and how long they served. Who would want to guess how many are on that page of ministers? It's 60 years now. That's a long time. How many do you think there were? How many do you want to guess? Marcel? 50? About a year and a month. Well, you're close. 32. 32. You see, it was just protocol in that denominational setting that once the minister has used up his messages, he'd give him somebody else, and then you can get to hear a new voice. Now, bless your heart, you still keep coming back listening to the same voice after 8 years, because you're not coming back to listen to the same voice. You're coming back to listen to God, because this is God's talk. This is God's word. See, but now, follow. Seven churches, and in the first century, when John writes this at the end of 95 AD, of the seven churches, only two have no condemnation against them. And one was poor, and the other one was persecuted. So take your pick. I'd say neither of those, none of the above. But this is what the first thing out of the gate will go. And remember last night's message? This is the sequel. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel, or let's say the pastor, the leadership of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Way to go, church at Ephesus. Would you say those are all commendable traits? All commendable virtues. Let's give them a hand. Wow. But then the Holy Spirit, so discerning, and he that walks amongst the candlestick, he says, uh-oh. Then he says, I can't stop there. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against thee. Would you read it with me? Because thou hast left thy first love. Now, how many of you have ever lost your keys? How many of you ever lost something? You see, when you lose something, you don't know where it is. But when you leave something, you know where it is. It's just that you have picked up something else more important or more necessary. You follow. Thou hast left thy first love. So we deliberately deposit it and say, oh, we're going to start doing this and that and the other. And that was the condemnation here to the church at Ephesus. So much still good. It was still evident in the community. And you know what? I've been at this for 48 years. I resigned Ford Motor Company in 1980 to go into full-time ministry. So I've been at this, and you can really, really get into a routine and a rut really quick if you let it. You know, somebody says, you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. We can, as Christians and as a church, we can get into it really, really fast. So let me show. I need a couple of volunteers. Tim, can you leave your station of importance there for a minute? And Kyle, could you come? And how about you, Keith? Could you come and help me? Now, you're going to do what God says, correct? Now, as these gentlemen come, I want you to, you have to turn to Corinthians, pardon me. I need you to come up here. Would you do that? Okay, just stand there looking handsome for just a second. Okay, you've got 1 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 14. Now, I'm going to read this and then we'll show you. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now here, let me just illustrate this for you, if I may, and we'll be done. Okay. Kyle, could you hold this up? Stand right over here. Just hold it up high enough. And if you could hold this one up, and you hold this one. Just line it up right here. Stand right up front here so they can see. All right. First of all, could you hold it up? Can you see that? Is it big enough? Okay. This is verse 14. For ye are yet the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for their foolishness unto him. So this circle is your life. Okay? The throne here is your heart. And S is for self. So who is on the throne of your life? Unsaved, who is on the throne of your life? The cross is for Jesus Christ. So the natural man. Like, there's no way with Jesus outside the life, you're going to, when it comes to a girlfriend, you're not going to be able to pick a right girlfriend if you have self on the throne of your life. You know that, right? Say, yeah. See, sports will have the majority, the lion's share of your time, because it doesn't matter. You're going to do your thing. Grades in school, your future plans, you're not going to pray. You're just going to see where the big bucks are. And your friends, your family, your car, you put anything else in there, put your cell phone in there. How much time do you spend on your cell phone? Oh, we'll wait until the next one. That probably clarifies that. But see, this is the natural man. There's no way. Have you ever talked to somebody and invited them to church? And at church, Sunday morning, you got to be kidding. Because there's bigger and better things. There's bigger fish to fry, literally speaking up here. So understand that. So you're here this morning, and this is your life. Self is on the throne. Christ is outside your life. You're not born again. You can't comprehend spiritual things. It's just like trying to get an FM station on an AM radio. Do you remember what they were like? How many of you remember the AM, FM radio? Yeah. You can't. You have to switch it to the FM dial. That's what happens here. So the natural man. Now, as we see B here now. Hey! Say, Keith is God. What's happened here, though? Notice, this is still your life. The throne is your heart. Guess what's transpired? Christ has come into the life. Now, this is where we have a struggle. See, your flesh didn't get saved when you trusted Jesus Christ. And Galatians 5, Romans 7 tells us there's going to be a battle until you die or the rapture. Either way, you're going to have to die to self every day. As Paul says, I die daily. J.R. Faulkner was a song leader of Highland Park Baptist Church. We talked to Lee Robinson for some 30, 40 years. He says, every morning, he says, before I put my feet on the floor, he pictures in his mind, he gets a shovel and he digs a big hole beside the bed. And once he's got this deep hole beside the bed, and he'll say, okay, J.R. Faulkner, get in that hole. And he'll climb into that hole, and then he'll shovel the dirt back on him and bury him. He says, that's worked real good for me for many years. Whatever you need to do. But you gotta die to self, because if not, you see, this is still your heart. But who is on the throne? Self. Yeah. You're still going that, like Burger King, you're going to have it your way. A preacher, one of the young men we ordained, he had it for a number of years. We had to kind of delay his sending because he says, Pastor, I get doing so good. And he says, man, he says, I think I'm in control of my own life. And he says, I say to Jesus, okay, Jesus, you're co-pilot. I'm going to be pilot now. And he says, I'll take and fly this thing. Until he says, I get about ready to crash and burn. He says, here, Jesus, you take over. See, that's what we do, don't we? It's called, notice the word carnal. He says in chapter 3, he says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. That word is a New Testament word. Old Testament, I think the word is used some backsliding. That's used for Israel some 14 times. But in the New Testament, carnal means fleshly. They're living after. So, boyfriend, girlfriend, sports, family, grades, future plans, friends, cars, houses, whatever. It's just going. It's still going to be you controlling. You're going to. Somebody says, "Are you saved?" Because the way you're going, you know, the decisions you're making says, "You sure you're saved?" Yeah, but what's going to happen? The end result. How many of you have ever heard of Mr. Lot? You know, he lived in the Old Testament. And then if you read the Old Testament, you think this man can't be saved. But you read 2 Peter and the Holy Spirit calls him just Lot. Just, like justified. Who vexed his righteous soul in Sodom day to day. You know, he said, oh, they shouldn't be doing that. That's awful. That's terrible. Why are they doing that? And yet, he himself did not have enough conviction and fortitude to do something about it and says, no, this is enough. Wife, get the kids together. We're going, moving back with Uncle Abe and Aunt Sarah. He's a godly example. That's who we're going to follow. He never could, never would. And what an awful, awful testimony. Two of the nations, the Ammonites and the Moabites, were perpetual enemies of God and God's people that were spawned and born from incest from his own daughters. That's the degree of carnality. If you get self, oh, Christ can be in. But Paul said to the Corinthians, you are so carnal. You're bickering and fighting. See, in a church that has left its first love, you're going to turn on each other. We had an addition to the farm yesterday. Missy? Maggie. Maggie, she's little. And those other big guys in the girls in the corral. You think Maggie is accepted? She wants to come and eat some hay. These other big bullies, ears go back, and they start turning. When a horse turns its back on you, watch out. He's just not ignoring you. He's about to send you to the next week or something. That's what little poor Mamay, I was feeling sorry for herself, but no, don't worry. Her master took a big fork full of hay, and she's got her own pile of hay. Anyway. It's in the barnyard we used to end up with chickens. It was the pecking order. You ever notice when one chicken all of a sudden has a sore, the rest of the chickens come peck away at it? That's what we do kind of like in church, don't we? Oh, no. Oh, not up here, but we kind of down south, we kind of do that in Ontario. That's if we're that kind of Christian inside the church. That's why God help us. Now, here's, this is what Matthew 22 looks like. See, what a breath of fresh air. Circle is still your life. The chair is the throne of your heart. And guess what? Self has been dethroned. Self has been crucified. And guess who's on the throne? The Lord is in his rightful place. Then we pray, and anything and all things that come our way, And all these things are good and necessary, but you have to put them in categories to importance. That's why if you have church Sunday morning, that's where you'll be. Because sports and friends and just having fun won't take priority. Wednesday night, or you have Wednesday night or Thursday night, you'll know where to be. You see, it's a wonderful thing. God was so gracious to me. When we were first saved, I was 23 years old. Oh boy, we had been in the world. And I said, Lord, how do I fix this? What do I do? Remember last night? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And you ask this lady here, our kids and our grandkids, they will tell you that whenever the church doors have been open, for as long as they can remember, we have been there. We have been there when the work day was scheduled. We have been there when missions conferences, just lock it in. And that way, if somebody says, well, want to go golfing Wednesday night? Because of this, you can say, oh no, thank you. I'd love to go any other time, but my Wednesday nights are already taken up. You want to go someplace on Sunday? Can we take you out for supper Sunday night? Oh no, unless it's later on. I'd love to go out for supper, and especially if you're buying. I'd love to go out for supper, but we have a very important engagement at 6 o'clock first. Oh, okay. How about we make it 9? Love to. Mom didn't raise any dumb kids, you know. You follow? This is what this will look like. So we say, okay, I want to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. And if you'll just be honest now and put self where it's got to be, because that price that was paid when Jesus moved in, he didn't move in just as a friend. He moved in as whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. When you said yes to Jesus, you took and signed over all of your rights to new management. And you are under new management. That's why I'm so glad to see these young men here and to see the testimony and the blessing that all you folks are, because you don't want to leave your first love, do you? But you've got to work on this, because there are enemies that will come in and will try to defeat you. So now, let's spread them out here. Would you be honest this morning? Which one of these categories are you in? You can't be in 3 of them at the same time. You can only be in 1 at a time. And if you're here and Christ is outside, why don't you this morning say yes to Jesus? Ask him in. And if you're here and Jesus is in, but he certainly is not Lord of your life, you are still very much in control. You're not asking him for direction. You're not asking him for leadership. Say, Lord, forgive me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Forgive me for being carnal-minded. Then move over. This is what we would call the consecrated life, the loving God supremely. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that help. You see, and that's chapter 2, verse 15. We'll finish with this. But he that is spiritual, 2:15, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind who have the mind of the Lord, pardon me, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. See, so when we think of this, Jesus is enthroned and ruling in your life. You're totally yielded to the will of God and committed to him. Remember Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a sacrifice on the altar? They had to put horns on the corner of the altars. Sometimes they had to tie the sacrifice to the altar. You know, because we are a living sacrifice, we have a tendency to want to get off the altar because it's just maybe too hard or we think it's too costly. But no, you must commit. Tie it to the altar. Meaning, as Keith said, I appreciate that testimony because he got locked into, he's got responsibilities here. For instance, you're praying for a building. Has it ever occurred to you, who's going to clean this building? Has it ever occurred to you, who's going to mow the grass at this building? Has it ever occurred to you what the cost is to maintaining this building? See, you're going to have to really work together, be in unity, one with another, and give your all as a sacrifice. The Spirit-controlled Christian investigates, as it says, it inquires into and studies the Bible and comes to an appreciation and understanding of its contents. And so we find, I appreciate so much as we think of what God has done. And Pastor Mike alluded to it yesterday, some 18 years ago. I remember the first time I was in their home and how they've come to know Christ. And the first time I've met Brother Pastor Mike, and he had a good chat with him. And then Diane wasn't home, but sometime later she was home, and we went back. And from the time I first met them, we loved them. We just enjoyed them. And then when they were saved and baptized, and it didn't take long. And I thought, wow, that's going to be interesting, especially given where they come from and the teaching, the humanism that we've all been somewhat indoctrinated with, and yet they were spiritual. They desired not human wisdom, but they desired spiritual wisdom that's from above. And they gravitated to it, and they said, yes, that is scriptural, and they did it. And wow, how God has blessed them. And I realized that it wasn't going to be long when Pastor Mike says, I think God's called me to preach. And of course, as he prepared, we knew it was coming. And that's great. That's what it's all about. And you know, Matthew 9:38, it says that we're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. See, as a church, do you pray for somebody in this church for God to raise them up? Maybe that your pastor could kind of take under his wing and mentor to be an assistant, and then when your pastor can no longer be senior pastor, are you praying to that end? You have to as a church. Because as we see over and over, a pastor can have a stroke and be out of the ministry real fast. A pastor can pass away. So many things. I'm not hoping for any of this. I've lived long. I see it right now that we're praying. And a pastor last week called me and says, I have to resign. And he married one of our girls. And we have a number of girls that have married pastors. And so our hearts are with them. And we realize how tough it is. They said it's one of the toughest decisions we've ever made. But the spiritual life is not a bed of roses. We're not in this, the Christian life and ministry, it's not a picnic. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. That's why the spiritual Christian, he understands the deep mysteries of the Word of God. And to be able to teach others, And let me just mention to you that, see, if you're still in the A category with Christ outside, let me give you a thought that 1 minute after you die, you will either be enjoying a personal welcome from Christ or catching your first glimpse of gloom and doom like you've never known it. And either way, your future will be irrevocably fixed and eternally unchangeable. That's how serious this is. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. So if you haven't been honest with yourself, maybe this morning, I hope that God the Holy Spirit showed you where you're at and what you need to do, and then he'll make you willing to do it. Amen. Could we stand? <clears throat> 281 is what we're going to... Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Have you left your first love? Has there ever been a time when you have been closer to the Lord in serving? Maybe you've pulled back. Maybe this morning you realize you're not what you should be or could be. Father in heaven, I pray you'll do a work in each heart and life. God, to love you supremely, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. That's the first and great commandment. But I'm glad that you didn't complicate it like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who had so many bylaws, nobody knew how to work it out in their lives. Now, Father, please, work in hearts and work in lives as only you can by your Spirit. And as the musicians play, pass me not, O gentle Savior. If you need to step out this morning, I know Pastor and Mrs. would be glad to take the Bible and show you, help you, pray with you, and saying, maybe you just want to come and say, thank God for this church. You want to pray a hedge about it. You want to pray a hedge about your pastor and his family. You want to pray a hedge about your fellowship, loving each other. And you know what happens sometimes in a church? We get at odds one with another. We don't talk to one another. I've had folks in the church where for a couple of years they haven't spoken to each other until they face the fact that that's wrong. And God the Holy Spirit showed them, we are carnal. We need to get our relationship fixed. So if there's somebody... I don't know. I didn't talk to your pastor about this. I don't know you folks. I just know the ministry. I know human nature because I am one. So if you need to, deal with it. Deal with it. You maybe came in with a heavy heart and maybe with a grieving heart, but you can go out with a free and a victorious heart if you want to. If you need to come, pass me not, O gentle Savior. We just need to step out. This takes humility to step out, even in, as a member of the church. Say, I want to pray for my church. I want to pray for the ministry here. We've got some big plans for the future, and we need God's help. Would you need to step up? You need to do that now.